Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang dhammang sanghang namassami. So these last few weeks I've been talking about mindfulness of breathing, and it really forms the backbone of our practice and is can be applied in so many ways. I think one of the things that is important is the whole developing of mindfulness, the using of mindfulness in its different forms, and taking the, I mean, one takes the breathing as the anchor, as the focal point, and learning how to develop, sustain, cultivate the quality of attention on the breath as it comes in, as it goes out. Can be sometimes people are I hear people say sometimes that it's hard to use the breath as the focus of attention because it doesn't really interest, or it's boring. And there's a story in the Zen tradition of just something similar where the student is talking with the Zen master and says, "I'm just not having much success in my meditation because I just find the breath really boring." Zen master grabs the student, sort of pulls him over to a pond and grabs him by the scruff of the neck and pushes his head into the water, holds it down there for quite a long time. There's just struggling away, and yanks him up again after a while. "How was that? Did you find the breath boring?" "Are you really interested in the breath?" with certain motivation. So that the a lot of it is putting it in its context of what are we, why are we watching the breath? Why are we cultivating the breath as an object? What importance do we place on it? So that. That establishing of a sense of this is really important, and Ajahn Chah used to say that with that cultivation of mindfulness, say that a moment of a lack of mindfulness is a moment of derangement. Sort of. Several moments is several moments of derangement. However long we're unmindful, sort of is that's how long we're kind of deranged and sort of mentally disturbed. So that cultivation of mindfulness, bringing mindfulness to the breath, learning how to develop that, learning how to sustain that. Because this is where we find our clarity, our point of balance, our point of See, the opportunity for wisdom to arise. Because it's that moment-to-moment developing of awareness on the breath, or the development of mindfulness in whatever way, shape, or form, but particularly breathing as a very sort of clear exercise. That we this is where we start to develop a sense of calmness, a focused attention that is very stable and concentrated, and then an ability to contemplate and learn how to use discernment, wisdom, so that we can really penetrate into what is it that holds us in holds us in suffering, in discontent, dissatisfaction, and how do we free ourselves from that? So that is developing a mindfulness of breathing. It's probably helpful to consider some of the aspects of mindfulness. One particular meditation, it's really necessary to recognize the place or the value or the how crucial it is for there to be mindfulness at all stages. Whether we're just beginning, when we first settle, when we first start to deal with the different hindrances or disturbances to tranquility, and then to sort of full concentration and settledness. At all of those points along the way, there's a need for mindfulness and awareness. There isn't a point where it's not used or is not necessary. It's not uncommon sometimes for people to be meditating, and there's a certain pleasantness there. There's a certain feeling of well-being, and and there's a certain quality of knowing there. And then the meditation goes for a while, and then people start to, you see sometimes people sort of slumping and swaying back and forth, and the bell goes, and somebody talking to them later said, "Wow, I had a great meditation. That's so peaceful. Just time went by like a flash. And, just hardly didn't have a thought in the mind. It was great." But that's not really, not really what the meditation is for. There has to be this awareness, this mindfulness. And as the meditation becomes more settled, the awareness and mindfulness has to be more sharp, has to be more clear. And it's not I say that sharpness and clarity doesn't manifest itself in maybe thinking so much. It might be very, very settled, but it's knowledgeable of the state of clarity itself. It's very, it, so that this mindfulness is either it's mindful of the whole, the different stages of the cultivation. It's mindful of the mental states, whether it's concentrated or it's not concentrated, so this is a critical factor. And getting a basic a feel for what the mindfulness is constituted with, by. Bhante Gunaratana talks about he heard that there was Bhante Gunaratana wrote a very well-known book on mindfulness in plain English. And he said that he heard one of his a student or somebody who has had was interested in his teachings was reading this book. It was so sort of interested in mindfulness and was reading this book, walking along the street, and got hit by a car. One has to learn how to apply mindfulness as well as sort of, you know some of the facts about it. It's so that the basic description that the Buddha gives of in the when he describes the mindfulness, there's sort of four constituents: ardent, fully aware, mindful, and having put away longing and displeasure for the world. These are characteristics of the mind of mindfulness. So that there's this quality of ardent atapi in Pali, which means this application of effort. There's an effort involved. There's an energetic quality to it. It's not just kind of slack and flaccid. There's an energy to it. There's an ardent is the word that's usually translated in English. And just naturally, I mean, it's not a forced effort. For mindfulness to be, in its proper balance, there's this quality of kind of a vigor that's there, because I say when you're being mindful of something, you're engaged with it, you're interested in it, there's a willingness to put forth that attention, because it reciprocates with a nurturing of the heart. So when we're really mindful, there's a sense of the mind being very satisfied. The heart is really nurtured by that application of mindfulness. It's not a burden or a chore to be mindful. It's what really nourishes us as human beings, really. It's when we're unmindful, when we're scattered, when we're distracted, that that it's really disturbing or distracting for the mind. So this sense of atapi, ardent, putting forth of effort. The next quality is sampajano, which is usually translated as well as fully aware or clearly comprehending, fully understanding. And in the commentaries, the sampajanya is said to have the characteristic of non-confusion. And its function is to investigate. And it manifests as scrutiny. So that there's this investigate, and sometimes it's used in synonymously with wisdom. So that this application of wisdom, that mindfulness is not a static quality of just being mindful of a fixed thing or fixed attention. There's a dynamic quality that is investigating, is scrutinizing, is weighing the benefits or the drawbacks. There's a sense of recognition of time and place, situation that one's in. So that's a this characteristic of non-confusion, function of investigation, manifesting a scrutiny, these characteristics of sampajanya, so that there's clear comprehension. And particularly in meditation, it's very necessary to have that quality, because you're always needing to make slight adjustments. When we're paying attention to the breath, we're always needing to be making slight adjustments to either the meditation object, or the degree of effort that we're putting in, or the sort of the balancing of our investigation, as opposed to the degree of calmness, so that there's this sense of the mind. You're always needing to make slight adjustments in order to find a point of balance, and this is part of the function of mindfulness, but particularly in its aspect of sampajanya, clear comprehension. The quality the third quality, sati, is usually what is translated as mindfulness. Again, the commentaries say the characteristic, mindfulness has the characteristic of remembering. And its function is not forgetting, and it manifests as guarding, so that there's this function of the way that mindfulness is working is a sense of remembering what we're actually doing, remembering to be attentive to the breath. Remembering to be attentive to the posture. Remembering what mental state is useful and beneficial for working with, bringing up positive, wholesome qualities in the mind. And it's, say, it's guarding the mind in a sense of protecting the, say, the wholesome qualities within the mind, that which tends to calmness or brightness or a sense of settledness and well-being. These are qualities that, say, the meditation is, I mean, general application of mindfulness, and particularly in meditation, it's important to be attending to what is useful, what's beneficial, what's helping the mind settle and become clear. And it's like, you know, training the mind, you realize that there's some things that we shouldn't just let the mind wander off and be getting caught up in. It's too disturbing. You know, thoughts of ill will and aversion, anger. And it's really, the mind gets absorbed into it, or desire, attachment. If we just let it, the mind merrily go on in those streams of thought, then it just it disturbs the well-being, the wholesomeness of the mind. It's calm, it's peace. So in the same way that one, say, with a small child or a baby, you look over it, you keep an eye on it, and if it's, you provide sort of set out some toys and things to play with so that it gets interested in it and goes over and picks up a pair of scissors. I mean, you don't just sort of let them play with a pair of scissors. You take the scissors away and you hide them. So in the same way, in meditation, you want to be protecting, guarding the mind from its picking up objects that are not helpful for it, or dangerous to it. So that there's, especially in the mindfulness of breath, there's many, many ways that we can be using the mindfulness of breathing. It's awareness of the, and the Buddha gives this whole scope. I've spent this the past 3 weeks really talking about all the different ways of using mindfulness of breathing and using aspects of the body, feelings, mind, dhammas, as the foundations for applying attention. And there's lots of, say, wholesome, skillful things, ways that we can be directing attention. But there's also, there's so many unskillful things that we can be doing. We have to be attentive and guarding the mind. In the same way that you might have a whole medicine cabinet full of medicines, and you have to know what the, I've got a headache, but you don't go in and just sort of randomly take out some medicine from the medicine chest and say, well, it's medicine, so I'll take it. You have to sort of read the label and say, oh yeah, right, well, this is actually something for a headache, as opposed to medicine for something else. So in the same way with the different tools, techniques, and ways of applying attention, You know, they have a particular purpose. They have a function. And learning how to develop the skill in and familiarity with ourselves, with our own mind, with our own personalities, with our own temperaments, and seeing, well, what works for us, what is beneficial, what protects and guards the mind so that the wholesome states of mind have an opportunity to flourish, and the unskillful states of mind have an opportunity to settle, to dissolve, to be let go of, finally. So that these mindfulness in its different aspects is, you know, this is a key factor. The last quality that is considered part of the, let's say, the characteristics of mindfulness is the having put away longing and displeasure for the world, or having, oftentimes it's translated as having put away covetousness and grief for the world. So that the tendency to either be drawn into desire and aversion, liking and disliking, wanting, not wanting, those that flip-flopping back and forth of the mind, where the mind is either being attracted or repelled, to actually start to get bored with that. Because we tend to allay the things that we dislike, we don't want, you know, with something that's interesting, fascinating, that we can be attracted to. We can get some longing and something pleasurable going, but that it can't sustain itself. We get fed up with that, and then we get averse to things. And so that back and forth is just, I mean, it's so typical of how the human condition is, but there is, say, the way out, which is, of course, the whole purpose of the Buddha's teachings, is giving us a way out, giving us a way to direct attention to that which is truly peaceful, is settled. So that this learning to apply and develop mindfulness so that we're able to, one, in meditation, to settle the mind, and also to carry it into our daily life in different ways. So that sense of ardent, fully aware, mindful, having put away longing and displeasure for the world. So when we are cultivating mindfulness, and in particular with mindfulness of breathing, to bring attention to the quality of the awareness that we're using, we're relying on. Learning how to brighten the mind with quality of awareness that is more focused, more comprehensive. As I said, it's not uncommon to, as we continue the meditation, and to drift into habits, and to do it in a mechanical, rote fashion, lose the kind of the life in it. And so it takes some patience, really, to just keep bringing the mind back to a simple object like the breath, and making it, putting life into it, bringing up that quality of interest and attention. The it's just that the repetition and willingness to say to fail at it, or maybe think that one's not making any great progress, but just to keep doing it and keep coming back and doing it. There's a woman in England holds the Guinness Book of Records for doing a driving test, getting on her 39th attempt at getting her driver's test. She ran a red light and crashed the car, and she still went back, and next year she went back for a driver's test again, and she finally passed. It was her 40th time. There's something really good about that. to be really willing to okay. I'm going to get it next time, and just with the meditation to have that same sense, because sometimes the meditations go fine, sometimes they're a total washout, but it's just being willing to just having the patience to come back and start over again. And to keep trying to bring forth those balancing qualities of mindfulness, clear comprehension, effort, right attitude, right application. And of course, the reason why we do that is because it is possible for the mind to become very, very peaceful. That's the capacity of the mind to be very peaceful, very still, very clear, and to really understand this human condition, this curious predicament we're in. And to be free. But it does it does depend on really composing the mind with awareness. and to just keep returning to that settling and focusing until the mind really does start to settle. Then, when the mind starts to settle, to not starting to have confidence in the peaceful mind, in the mind of awareness. Sometimes we're, say, like when we're using the breath as the object, and as the breath starts to as the mind starts to settle, the breath starts to become a bit more fine and a bit more subtle. And sometimes we don't have the confidence in ourselves or in the mindfulness, and then we say, "Oh, my mind is wandering." So then we try to make the breath more clear. But at that point, that's when there is a good, stable foundation of awareness and mindfulness in its comprehensive way, then one doesn't need to be attending to the breath in the same way, in the sensation of the breath. What you start attending to is the actual, say, feeling or presence of the breath or image of the breath. It's hard. I mean, language is a bit difficult at that point. But there's, you know, where you're experiencing the breath, and to attend it to that point, the mind becomes very settled. And as one attends to that point of where one experiences the breath, then, and one sustains that, then the mind will oftentimes then just really settle and absorb into that sensation. It's almost like sort of dive into that sensation. Or sometimes the experience of just sort of being all of a sudden sort of surrounded by that awareness and that fullness of that sensation. So that there's this a solidity of attention. And that's when we can start to really pay attention to the knower itself, the mind itself. And of course, this is what the meditation is for. We said we use mindfulness of breathing, but it's a vehicle. It's a method. It's a skillful means to give us the opportunity to start to experience more clearly the mind itself, the knower, and the awareness turns back on itself, starts to see itself more clearly. And it's at that point where we can really start to kind of disentangle the kind of delusion and confusion such a ubiquitous experience in the human condition. Just, really starting to experience things from a place of clarity and discernment. And of course, that's where we are able to start attending to letting go and relinquishing, dropping attachments, because you start seeing clearly that they're, you know, we create pain for ourselves, we create confusion for ourselves. And it doesn't make sense when you see it clearly. You know, from the perspective of confusion and delusion, it makes perfect sense why we should be upset and angry at somebody, or why we should why we just have to get that in order to be happy, or why something is really needs to be doubted and fretted over. It makes complete sense from the standpoint of confusion. But from the standpoint of clarity and discernment, it ceases to have the same logic, and we can start to let go of things, we can start to drop things, relinquish. And so Ajahn Chah was always pointing out the importance of this, you know, coming to a place of really putting things down, of letting go, dropping things, dropping everything. It's like that. So you let go a little, you get a little peace. You let go a lot, you get a lot of peace. You let go completely, you get complete peace. It's a very simple equation. That Ajahn Chah has a wonderful ability to put something into a very succinct sort of manner. But that letting go it takes clarity. It takes a mindfulness, so that the developing mindfulness of breathing. This is a sort of like it's a basic foundation. Of our spiritual practice. So I'll offer that for reflection this evening.
Sarupa Ram Dadamase.